Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory-smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Flock at me because I had a reputation already of being quick, aggressive, and good. And now I'm being held to, it feels really nice to make good money. But I had also previously, in earlier in my career, had run into good fortune in business, you know? So it's like people are attacking me for the slightest things.
Now to breaking news. Federal prosecutors have filed criminal charges against Republican Congressman George Santos.
More than being a congressman, I'd love to be Secretary of Treasury or Secretary of the Interior, because I would start auditing every level of government. I would have a fun. You would think Deloitte would blush with what I would do. KPMG would say, who he?
Yeah.
Because I would go balls to the wall.
Santos 2024. Let's go. Welcome to Fraudsters, the podcast that gives you the scams you love from the fraudsters we hate. I'm your co-host, Sina Gaznavi, along with Ariel Lieti and Justin Williams. This is part two of Anthony George DeVolder, califragilistic expialis Santos, and his merry band of frauds. Last week, we covered the history of George Santos, however scant the information was. We gave you our theory on how his mother made him the man he came to be. Today, we're going to talk all about his recent indictment. It's fresh, so I want to talk about it. This guy literally hasn't been in office for like 5 months. So much has happened.
Republican Congressman George Santos of New York is now facing criminal charges. Sources telling CNN's Evan Perez that federal prosecutors have filed charges against the New York freshman and serial liar. He's expected to appear in court as soon as tomorrow.
Are you guys excited for this?
I'm so excited. You know me. He's my favorite. Yeah. Still, I have not changed my favorite scammer, my favorite fraudster. It's still George DeVolder, Anthony Tony Santos.
Well, I think t-shirts that just say Tony Santos.
But he's dressed as like Iron Man, like Tony Stark, like Tony Santos. We can get those made.
Those are, hey, fans, at FraudstersLPN, FraudstersLPN at Gmail. Also, join the Discord. I should always plug the Discord.
Yeah, because there's a lot of pets in there and stuff.
That's true.
So George Santos was indicted in federal court on May 9th, 2023. A copy of the indictment will be in our show notes, and it focuses on a few organizations that Santos was involved in. Would you know it? Most of them turned out to be super scams. Here's the rundown. On the grand jury's indictment in federal court in the Eastern District of New York, 13 counts, 7 counts of wire fraud related to a fraudulent political contribution scheme and an unemployment insurance fraud scam. Can't wait to get to that. 3 counts of money laundering related to the political contributions. 1 count of theft of public funds, because if you are employed and you file to get unemployment benefits, the government will find you eventually. In this case, Santos was very easy to find. 2 counts of making materially false statements to the House of Representatives. Okay, so turns out he lied on his financial disclosure forms So no surprise here, really. What I find interesting, though, is that when you are in government, you can actually scam the public. I don't know if you knew this. Like, honestly, you can legitimately, legally scam the public. You don't even have to cheat, per se. You get insider info every day that you could trade stocks on. Okay, all you have to do is fill out a form that publishes the stocks that you bought. Hell, there are funds that people are running right now that just trade exactly what the elected officials, the politicians, are doing anyways. So Nancy Pelosi will make a trade. She publishes it on a form because that's what she has to do. And then these guys will go and make the exact same trade. Do you guys know about this? Have you heard about this?
No.
No.
Now, they're a little late because the trades already have, but still, the Congress people are so early that these people are up hundreds of percent sometimes, double-digit numbers, just by copying the same trades that these Congress people are making. Now, this is not investment advice, but if you're going to chase some money, might as well chase the same money the Congress people are basically, it's cheating. It's insider trading that we make legal, which is absurd.
I love it here.
Yeah, this is like with the Supreme Court. Like, one great thing about like Trump and like the last probably like 4 or 5 years of American history is just finding out how much stuff was just handshake agreements that now, like, yeah, the people, like, people just had things they wouldn't do, but now they're just doing it because it was never actually illegal. Like, Trump and Clarence Thomas, you're like, wait, that was legal? You could just do that? It's like, oh, yeah, there are no rules, actually, the whole time.
Well, that was what was interesting about Trump when he got into office, right? Everyone was like, well, there's certain guardrails that he won't be able to cross when it comes to immigration and foreign policy. And then you're like, wow, none of those guardrails actually ever existed.
Yeah.
Those were just invisible lines that no one crossed. But we digress. How did this indictment happen? I mean, honestly, guys, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Totally.
I've got all of Kitara's albums. To really understand how these charges came about, we should work through his political runs from 2019 up to today, which is June of 2023 when we're recording this. So after the death of his mother, he kicks his lazy fraud into hyperdrive. Instead of being a passive fraudster, cashing stolen checks he found and simply not paying his rent, bills, or friends back, he turns to an active fraudster, high finance and politics. Since his mother is no longer around to be his fraud mentor, he turns to his new mommy, Donald Trump.
I feel like he did this to honor the memory of his mother more than anything else.
She said, boy, I'm going to raise you right to be a scammer of the highest degree. Because I didn't come to this country to struggle and fight. I did it for you.
Someone needs to make this movie because it's going to be like all fake. And I want, like, on her deathbed because of her 9/11 cancer to be like, to say that I wanted that to be her final words. Like, I came here for you. You go out there and you fraud like the best of them. Go meet up with Daddy Donald Trump and he'll teach you everything you need to know.
Give him this note. He will know what to do.
And then immediately she dies. And that's the movie I want to see on Lifetime. Thank you.
It is a big leap that we're saying his mother is a scam artist. So I mean,
but everything is a leap. Why not? Why can't we make that leap?
Yeah, he can make stuff up. So why can't we make stuff up?
It's a free country, damn it.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that she speaks like the wife from Fences. Like,
And honestly, is it a crime to say that we think his mom did it?
No, first? We are postulating. We are merely artists in an open platform making yuck-em-ups and theories.
I heard that when his dad left, because George Santos was like, Daddy, why don't you like me? And his daddy said, boy, what kind of fool-ass question is that? Who said I got to like you? I go to work every day. I work hard. Bring the money home, put the food on the table. Then I lay on top of your mama and try to blast a hole into forever.
Oh, okay.
It's all I got to give, George Santos.
His name was Anthony at the time. Get it correct.
Anthony Boulder.
DeVolder.
Santos.
Oh, no.
Well, lovable George Santos with all of his little fairy dust and an alakazam, he would pull rabbit after rabbit out of his stolen hat collection. With magic, the sleight of hand is secretive, right? But the reveal is for the world to see, to be amazed by, and to be applauded. Sure, the show is full of tension, but after it's over, all that remains is the feeling that something miraculous has happened. So, with his magic wand, he changed his life. George Santos wanted to be a New York politician, so poof, he became Jewish to appeal to voters. He was a bit doughy and unathletic, so poof, he was an actual volleyball star. Probably the only sport that no one has ever watched a full game of, except for Brett Favre. No Ivy bona fides, poof, he not only graduated high school, but he graduated from an Ivy prep school called Horace Mann in the Bronx. Oh, you need some charity work in there? Poof, he had his own charity that rescued puppies and that wasn't fake at all.
This morning, New York Congressman George Santos now facing an FBI investigation into an alleged charity scam.
They talk to you more than they talk to me. I haven't been reached out by them, so I can't comment.
A legend.
Pause.
I just want to watch it again for the walk. He's got like a great runway walk that he's got going on.
Let's play it again. Play
the tape again.
Selecta!
Run it back.
This morning, New York Congressman George Santos now facing an FBI investigation.
You are so right.
An alleged charity scam.
They talk to you more than they talk to me. I haven't been reached out by them, so I can't comment.
Ariel, that is a walk. You're a model.
So serious when I say I might write the George Santos Anthony DeVolder movie, kind of like how Weird Al did like a movie about himself that wasn't real. That is what I will do about George Santos with all the scraps we put together that clearly may or may not be true. That is what I want to put in the movie.
I'm incredible.
So what a guy.
But that charity is a puppy charity and we're not going to talk about it today. I know. I'm teasing everyone.
Wait, why not? Let's talk about it right now.
We're going to talk about it next week.
Okay.
We have to focus on so much other stuff.
Oh, man.
It's just like typical for George Santos that we can't talk about the puppy charity because he's too busy scamming in so many other areas.
I know. I got excited. My bad.
Congress wasn't his first stop. He got his feet wet with a 2019 run for a state committee position in the Queens County Republican Party. He dropped his campaign after failing to get enough signatures to make the ballot. This was confirmed by the former head of the Queens County Republican Party, a woman named Joanne. I mean, no one put the pronunciation of this last name in there, but it's Areola.
It sure is. No, it looks like it's I don't know how else you could say it. Yeah. Areola? Areola?
I'm trying to be an adult.
Round it out.
Areola?
Areola.
Joanne Areola. Still bad. Still Areola.
So he hopped over to Nassau County after he got that nasty letter from Areola and immediately ran for Congress. Can't get signatures for a dumb job. Why not just run for Congress? Congress. In 2020, he runs for the 3rd District of New York as George DeVolder Santos, with the hyphen between DeVolder and Santos, by the way.
I love that.
I don't think I didn't pick up on that until recently.
Like a Rancho Sanchez Vicario.
There we go. Wow. What a deep 90s tennis reference. I love that, yeah. Justin.
I was thinking Gordon Baker Bone, but.
Whoa. GBB. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Just after he started his election in mid-January of 2020, he also started working at a Florida-based investment firm, Harbor City Capital. His title? Regional director. And the CEO was this guy, J.P. Maroney. Okay, so Harbor City is going to come up a couple times, and I want everyone to just remember who Harbor City is and J.P. Maroney is. So here's J.P. Maroney in his own words on how Harbor City works.
I was watching a TV show one night, and I think it was CNBC or somewhere, and they were featuring interviews with some hedge fund managers and private equity fund managers. And one of those managers made a statement that really resonated with me. He said, a lot of people think that we just invest in securities. We buy stock or maybe real estate or something like that. He said, but we'll actually put money into anything that we think we can get an ROI from. So he said, some of us will invest money in racehorses. Some of us will invest money in classic cars. Some of us will invest in art. All we're looking for is when we put a dollar in, We want to get a dollar plus something back out. We want that return on our investment. And so later that night, I was actually out walking the dog after I watched this TV show, and I was thinking about the return on investment that we get in the digital space, basically buying leads or generating leads online. We'll buy traffic or advertising online and send people to a page and generate a lead. And a lot of times, the money that we make off of that lead can be a 2-to-1, 3-to-1, 5-to-1 ratio on those dollars. And so I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if you could take the money that you're able to make, the return that you're able to make on digital advertising or generating leads online, and combine that with the power of an investment fund? Well, you would have something really powerful. Then you would be able to go out and buy every single click or every eyeball related to that particular offer. And that's really where the idea came from.
Okay, wait. So this, do we all track how absurd this is? We go from art, classic cars, mm-hmm. horses, all things that generate money, that are physical things that are of value, to we buy traffic and leads online that could come from anywhere.
Yeah, traffic is not something that could be easily faked at all, right? There's no such thing as bots that, you know, drive up traffic to sites, or
you could probably fake traffic,
fake followers, and it's like a like insanely easy model.
Or sending a spreadsheet of fake information.
yeah, that too. Have you not watched Succession?
Yeah. So, and like, if you look at the ads for Harbor City when they were, you know, operating, they would claim a low risk, high reward investment opportunity. That's no red flag there, right? And the returns they promise, 1-5%, reasonable, per month.
Lit.
1-5% per year, maybe. 1-5% per month. No, sorry.
Get me in there. Can I still do it? Did they shut down?
That was the NFT pitch for me. 1-5% per month?
Per month. Oh, I'm in. That's a cute little increase.
How many apes? I get some apes.
Like, for reference, that's like outperforming the entire S&P 500 by like... Yeah.
1-5% per month? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that.
Even Warren Buffett is like, I want to know your secrets.
It's weird, though. He starts running for Congress, and he starts this new job. It's strange.
He's a hustler.
He is. You're right.
It's not strange. He's a hustler, Sina.
You know what? I should correct myself.
He's doing it for his mother.
Mama! And it's early 2020. The pandemic is on. And what are a lot of people doing at this time, guys?
Making bread.
That's true. I made pizza crust.
Me too.
You made pizza?
Moving to a remote part of the Hudson River Valley in a way that's not going to be a mistake. Overpaying for a rural home in upstate New York.
And making bread there.
And thinking that they're going to not ever be called back to their office in Manhattan. It's 2.5 hours away.
It'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
That's so funny.
They're applying for unemployment, right? Millions of people got unemployment at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they weren't working, right? You know who else got unemployment at this time?
Is it my man, Georgie S.?
George Santos running for Congress with a job in Florida. He applies for unemployment benefits in New York State.
He's a literal welfare queen.
This is obviously illegal and a theft of public funds and one of the charges in the indictment. This is like... ODB is like reaching out of his grave and just giving a thumbs up to George Santos right now.
I love the Republican Party. It's so great. It's like, this is everything that they said is minorities.
Yeah.
It's like these immigrants are going to come here and collect welfare and all this other stuff. And now it's just like, he just runs for Congress.
He is a minority, though. He's Jewish.
Yeah, he's Jewish.
Georgie S. Baby. And the S is for scammer.
So he applies in June of 2020, saying that he was unemployed since the week of March 22nd, 2020, like right after the lockdown.
Yeah, immediate.
You've got to be kidding me. All right, we have a clip here from MSNBC with George Santos talking about collecting unemployment.
So the way I look at it is they're not understanding. If they, the question is simple. George, why was your income $55,000 in 2020 and why is your income drastically higher? Well, here's the answer to that. We struck a deal with the company so nobody went unemployed and got reduced to like a very basic salary, just so we, as we called it, livable wages in the company, so we can get by. So long story short, I went from 2019 bringing in $400,000+ to, yeah, in 2020 my reported income was $55,000. Couldn't be more legitimate. I actually qualified for unemployment.
Couldn't be more legitimate.
That's how he was discussing it on tape. The feds disagree.
Note, he did not qualify for
it. It's just P.S. No, that is not how the un part of the employment, I think, is the operative aspect of the word, right?
Yeah.
And it's only somebody that's trying to hang out in expensive parts of New York that could pass off $55,000 a year as being unemployed.
Yeah. His unemployment claims continued through April of 2021. So he had to certify that weekly. All the while, he's collecting direct deposits to his personal bank account in the sum of $120,000 per year. How much did New York give him? Only $25,000, which is like 20% of that 120 almost, right? But that's not a ton of money, but it doesn't seem like it's worth the risk. I don't know. What do you guys think?
If you're used to lying and stealing and getting away with it to this level, you just start doing it. There's no cost benefit analysis at this point. No. He's a compulsive criminal.
Right. Yeah. You're okay. I'll take a little 20% off the top. Cool. Great. Yeah. And what else? And what else? And what else?
So true.
This is the kind of guy that the mafia, like if he was in the mafia, they would pull him aside and they'd be like, stop like murdering so much. Because you're ruining the whole like skim operation that we have. Like they'd be like, you're so pathologically criminal that you're endangering the larger criminal enterprise.
I know you're my sister's kid, all right? Makes you my nephew.
Yeah.
But we can't have this.
He is Christopher trying to skim a little off the top.
Yeah.
To get noticed.
Got your own thing going?
Yeah, you got your own thing going. That's
like
him.
There's no long-term like thinking here. It's like, if you're already a millionaire off of like a HUD scam, it's like, don't sell ecstasy out of the trunk of your car.
Yeah. Man. Ariel, you mentioned earlier, he's a hustler.
Yes. Never stop, never stopping.
From January 2020 to May of 2020, he started hosting a show in Long Island called Talking GOP on cable access.
I love it again, so
this Long is how Island much we cable have to, access.
This is how much we have to cover today, guys. I'm only going to drop one clip, and we're going to come back next week for more Talking GOP. Again, too much to cover. Let's play this one clip of Talking GOP. What a tease.
This man energizes me.
I will watch hours of Long Island public access television.
Look at him.
I will do that as a separate podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're here with one more edition of Talking GOP. I'm your host, George Santos. Today we have a packed duo, powerhouse for interview. We're going to be interviewing John Cummings, running for New York's 14th congressional district against AOC.
This is like watching a bad open mic.
Now we have Joe Murray, who was a previous candidate for the special election for Queensborough District Attorney, and unfortunately lost to Melinda Katz, the outgoing borough president, who has now toppled the city in chaos with bail reform. So let's get to it, Joe.
Toppled the city in chaos. I like how New York conservatives always try to make New York City sound like, like Bane just like let the jails out.
No.
Oh my God.
I just want us to talk about the glow up. Okay.
Yeah.
From rags to riches. This was him like coming up. He's still a little thick. you know? His skin looks good, but not as tight as it looks now. Now he's got the glasses. He maybe has a stylist. He's taken that extra 20% that he made over COVID and used that towards his good looks. So
he reinvested in himself.
Exactly. So you see why it's important to cut a little off the top.
If Jonah Hill doesn't play this guy in a biopic, then like,
that's who I'm. Okay, that's
oh
I'm
no.
Yeah, he looks like Jonah Hill, Wolf of Wall Street.
No, I'm okay. So Jonah Hill is my front runner for casting. George DeVolder Santos. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure if someone pitched it to him, he'd be like, "I'm so offended. That's not me. I don't play those parts anymore."
And I'd be like, "Okay, then I'll use a different name and say it's not you."
I'd say, why couldn't they find an authentic Asian actor to portray my experience?
I know. Any minute now, he will be Asian, so we have to watch out.
Yeah.
In May of 2020, Santos filed two house disclosure forms in which he allegedly falsely certified that during the reporting period, so when you're running for Congress, before the election actually happens, you have to submit some disclosure forms. He said that he only earned income that consisted of a salary, commission, and bonuses totaling $55,000, which we heard earlier, from another company, Linkbridge. And that the only compensation exceeding $5,000 he received from a single source was an unspecified commission bonus from Linkbridge. Okay, so that's all he said he made. In actuality, of course, Santos allegedly overstated the income he received from Linkbridge and altogether failed to disclose the salary he received from Harbor City Capital. Now, this false statement is in the indictment, but at the time, no one really cares to investigate this thing because he ends up losing in 2020. The incumbent, Tom Suozzi, wins, but Santos convinces over 43% of the district to vote for him. Guys, that's nearly 162,000 people that voted for him.
That's my guy.
Do you think the cable access show worked? Do you think that's why?
Yeah, he looked hot.
That was not. There are four people watching that show. Nobody watching cable access. It's all like people with like real issues usually on public access.
I was going to say he was better off doing like a YouTube series.
Yeah, more people will be watching if it's YouTube.
Yeah.
You ever watch that? Remember views. Spirit of Truth? Where it was the guy who would play rap music and he would read parts of the Bible and then he would just yell at callers. That's public access television.
Now I want to watch that.
Yeah, that sounds incredible.
You've seen it. Remember where he's always like, he'll always be like, because he's like, "I'm God." And they'll be like, "You're not God." And they'll be like, "Shut up, bitch."
All right. Now I got to watch it. I got to watch it.
Yeah. You have a Spirit of Truth. Like all of them are good. It was definitely like California public access television from like the mid to late 90s.
Incredible. We got to get into this. But he wasn't going to take this loss lying down. The 2020 loss coincided with the, quote, stolen election of Donald Trump. The one thing we've seen from all these fraudsters, as we know on the show, is that they really don't quit. It's the best thing that we could say about them. So they don't feel shame or have any self-awareness. So that means they can just keep on rolling. Now, how did he garner all that support? Well, Long Island is a quaint little enclave of Trump supporters with pickup trucks and fine vineyards. And Santos went deep into the far right ring of the party. In fact, somehow he got to speak at the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th, but like the rest of the real instigators, declined to storm the Capitol himself. He clearly did not want to be associated with poorly dressed domestic terrorists. He also claimed that in addition to Donald Trump's votes, some of his votes had also been stolen or destroyed. We have a little bit of a clip of him speaking at the Stop the Steal rally.
Hey, Washington. My name's George Santos. I'm from New York City. Who here's from New York? A lot of you. If you're from New York, you know what they did to me. They did to me what they did to Donald J. Trump. They stole my election. I came down to new higher orientation, to new member, excuse me.
Who here is not going to comply? We are here because they figured out one thing. They serve us. Four more years. 4 more years of American greatness. 4 more years of America first.
4 years of prison for what we're going to do in a few hours.
I like that his accent changed a little bit to be a little more Bernie Sanders, give you a little more Jewish.
A little bit more. Who's from New York?
Right. Where did that come from?
It's also like the worst move. It's like, it's great that he understands New York. He doesn't understand like those people.
No, yeah, they don't want to hear you from New
they
York.
Really they, don't wanna, they do not want to hear who's here from
who's
New York
from New
City.
York? That everyone boos. Yeah. Like, yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Boy, I got a mind to take a strap to you. You ask me a question like that. You don't ask a man a question like that. Who's here from New York City? I like my salsa.
Now I like remember my that? Salsa verde.
I come from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I'll beat the black off you, boy.
Yeah, but I'm Jewish.
Well, remember, so this is now 2021, the January 6th stuff happens. And remember how I mentioned that he got that job with J.P. Moroney in Harbor City? Regional director. I mean, he needed to show that he could do finance. If you're running for Congress, you want to be, you know, fiscally conservative. Okay, so this is a tweet from April 15th, 2020. He's working at Harbor City Cap. It's at DeVolder. The market instability is leading to severe capital erosion. At Harbor City Cap offers you a strategy that mitigates loss and risk while creating cash flow. Meanwhile, your principal, wrong principal, is 100% secured by an SBLC held by various major institutions. Hashtag fixed income, hashtag alternative investment, hashtag win. Mm. And then there's only one like and one comment from someone that says, George, this SBLC I received from Harbor City was looked into. And Deutsche Bank claims is a complete fraud and not signed by the bank officer on the document. How do you explain this? And then it's later he waits months to respond in June of 2020. I'm sorry I'm not following you. Could you please send me an email at georgedevalder@harborcity.com and we can go over this together. Our SBLC is 100% legitimate and issued by their institution. I look forward to hearing from you. Deutsche Bank funneled money for cartels and like ran coverage for Trump. It's like when they call you a fraud, it's a problem.
They're like, we want nothing to do with this guy.
Yeah.
We only mess with respectable fraudsters.
And so, meanwhile, by the way, he's collecting unemployment while he's tweeting about
having a job.
Fucking job.
Having a finance job.
Posting his work email. A year later, just when he's got the wind at his back, you know, he's doing all these things, the SEC drops an emergency order for Harbor City Capital and its CEO, John P. Moroney, to stop operations for being a, say it with me, both of you, please, Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme.
That fancy fund that doesn't invest in just securities, but businesses that buy traffic to things they care about. Sure, of course, 1% to 5% return every month. Yes, please, give me more. In reality, this $17 million Ponzi scheme went to J.P. Moroney's other projects. If you look at the SEC order, they have like 12 like weird code name LLCs, like the Raptors from Enron, if you remember that from season one. They also went to J.P. Moroney's own expense account, and nearly $500,000 went to his wife, Tanya.
Classic. So
do you think Santos knew this was a Ponzi scheme, guys, or do you think fraudsters just attract to each other like magnets?
No, everybody knows what a hustle. You know what I mean? Hustlers come around other hustlers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he knew. And he was like, okay, I like this Ponzi scheme. I'm about it.
I can get paid off this Ponzi scheme and collect unemployment. I'm down.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we'll see if George Santos takes that to heart, or does he take the high road, or does he just get high on a road and keep on trucking?
I don't know.
We'll be right back.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome back. Well, what can I tell you? When the SEC dropped that order, it didn't make Santos really distance himself from Harbor City Capital. In fact, in May of 2021, he forms Red Strategies USA. This is important. A supposed 501c4 organization that he would use to fundraise for political causes. Who ran that? Some executives from Harbor City Capital and the DeVolder organization, Santos Vanity LLC, that was based in New York but registered in Florida. Despite the SEC order calling the company he worked for a Ponzi scheme, he officially announces that he's running for office in June of 2021 for the 2022 election. It's a little early, but the early fraudster steals the worm out of the baby's mouth, as the saying goes. He immediately starts spending that sweet cash and gets a huge bump from an endorsement in August of 2021. Hotshot millennial New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Stefanik was the youngest woman ever elected to national office and is already the third highest ranking Republican. Here's a quick clip from Stefanik, if you're not familiar with her.
As the representative for New York's 21st Congressional District, I am proud to represent thousands of brave law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line to protect our upstate New York and North Country communities every day, 24/7. And I am always proud to back the blue. The Republican Party is the party of law and order. And this week we will consider several bills supporting our local law enforcement.
Great. Thanks.
Wow, gatekeep girl boss. We love it.
Well, she's a pretty good person to know. And thanks to this high-level endorsement, Santos's campaign started raking in donation. And as we've learned from Fraudster's past, fundraising is the most important part of getting into and staying in office. What also helped was that his Democratic opponent never looked into anything on his resume. I mean, who looks at a resume anymore? Justin, do people look at your resume?
Yeah, my resume is like thoroughly looked over, actually. So, but we don't have like, yeah, it's a little different for George Santos. If I, you know what, they wouldn't look me over if I was running as a black Republican these days. If I were just saying like whatever they wanted to hear, they wouldn't look at my. But no, but since I'm attempting to be like a legitimate member of society, I'm actually like poured over quite a bit.
I hate that for you.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's good. You should know what you're getting.
So here's where he jumps headfirst into a future indictment. With his newfound popularity, he wanted to mine these donors for as much as possible. He gave one of his employees the names and contact information of donors he knew and told them what to say, that their donations were going to a 501c4 nonprofit in an effort to help his campaign buy media ads. So money from donors goes to a nonprofit for the purpose of buying ads for a political candidate, but it doesn't go directly to the candidate. Honestly, only in America is that logic of campaign finance supposed to work. In this case, it just went to Santos and his buddies. The emails that were revealed in the indictment that were sent from Redstone Strategies to the donors said things like, quote, raise another $700,000 to reach our goal of $1.5 million to invest in George Santos's race to compete with the money, quote, independently raised for Santos's opponent. The equivalent of the money they don't want you to know about. You remember our boy Kevin Trudeau. In another email, they said that Redstone was made just for George Santos's campaign. In reality, they also helped fundraise for Tina Forte, a candidate that ran against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on a Stop Socialism platform. I don't know about you guys, but I'm shaking in my boots. Socialism is going to get me.
I saw like the idea of stopping socialism in like New York, the New York City area, which is like precisely the reason why it's both livable and an attractive place to be, is the fact that you have like a robust welfare state that like provides some level of economic parity and like a subway system that moves people around for $2.75 a swipe and public education that's affordable than the rest of the country. And then also all those back in the blue, that's also socialism. You know, all those cop salaries.
Those government salaries. And also, let's not forget, capitalism makes New York the center of wealth for the universe, basically. I don't understand what the problem is there. I don't know. When they were doing these fundraising emails, though, they kept saying that there was no campaign contribution limit because they were this 501c4 organization and the funds were not going directly to a candidate. So that's the big thing here, right? You have these like political welfare kind of organizations that are nonprofits. You give money to them and it gets around a lot of the campaign finance laws because people with their ability to have free speech should back an issue. But in this case, it's partially true. There is no limit, but it's because the donors weren't giving to an actual 501c4. They were just giving to a fucking company, like a fucking lemonade stand. There was no rules. They never registered the company as a 501c4. Literally a lemonade stand.
I did not see that coming.
I thought this was going to be a buy the book, you know,
yeah, nonprofit. I thought this was going to be a regular nonprofit.
You guys, yeah? God damn. I'm going to make the tension more. So what did he do with all this money, though? Money was pouring in, backed by Stefanik, so it wasn't hard to get. During the campaign, he spent like he was in a reboot of Brewster's Millions. He bought Brooks, by the way, incredible movie.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
I was just going to ask. Ariel started nodding her head.
My great-great-grandfather told me about Brewster's Millions.
She started nodding her head like, oh, they said another thing that is a reference that I don't know. I'm going to act like I know it.
Yeah, I've heard tale of the Brewster's Millions.
So he bought Brooks Brothers clothes for his staff, spent $40,000 on airfare, $30,000 on hotels, $14,000 on car services. He spent $11,000 on campaign staff housing, which was actually just his own rent on the apartment he shared with his boyfriend. One thing is clear in his financial disclosures, and that is the fact that he knew exactly how much he could spend without having to declare it. This is incredible. If you spend $200 or more of your campaign money, it's got to be declared. So Santos spent $199.99 many times. Of the 4,300 campaigns that filed reports during the 2022 cycle, okay, ready? There were a total of 62 reported expenses of exactly $199.99. Of those 62, 37 of them belong to Santos.
That's not so bad. It wasn't all 62. I don't know why we're...
We're making too big of a deal about this.
Yeah, you're making a big deal out of this.
You're right.
And like, who's to say he didn't spend $199.99 37 times by mistake?
Well, there was a $600 a night Miami hotel that he got for the low, low price of exactly $199.99.
Three times?
Oh, my God.
Chop it up into 8-hour blocks.
So here's a clip from CBS where correspondent Caitlin Huey Burns looks for Nancy Marks, Santos's campaign treasurer. Where
is she?
George Santos is distancing himself from his controversial campaign finance filings.
I have no clue what you're talking about, ma'am.
The New York Republican submitted this amended finance report that now says he did not use his personal funds to loan $500,000 to his campaign, raising questions about where the money came from. Signing off on the new filing,
I'm pleased to be here with you today.
This is Nancy Marks, Santos's campaign treasurer.
Well, she filed all of his reports, which means she should have known whether they were true or false when she filed them as the treasurer, and she had that legal responsibility.
Hi, Nancy. My name is Caitlin Huey Burns. I'm a correspondent for CBS News.
Marks didn't return our call, so earlier this week, we showed up at a meeting for a Long Island library
where
she serves
Nancy.
As a board member. We found her seat empty and community members also searching for answers.
Now she's sitting on the board of trustees with taxpayer dollars.
Nancy Marks serves in an unpaid voluntary capacity on this board.
She also signed off on Santos's expenses, which revealed an unusual spending pattern. 37 charges of $199.99, mm-hmm, 1 cent below the threshold that requires an invoice or a receipt.
The quantity of transactions just under the receipt threshold is unprecedented.
After the meeting, we tried Nancy Marks one more time at her home where she runs her business.
Nancy!
The lights were on, but no one came to the door.
Yo, kudos to Caitlin. Not quitting.
My new theory. His mom is not dead. His mom is Nancy Marks.
Whoa! Mm. Whoa!
Yeah. The mom is Nancy Marks, and she's also getting, everyone's getting paid. The woman was like old enough to be his mother.
Yeah. Wow.
Or, since they're one and the same person, the reason why she's not answering is because she is dead.
Or it could be like, it's like his mom's twin sister.
Right. There's
Changed
that too.
The name.
Yep.
Oh my God, I love this.
Yeah, no. You know what? If people are allowed to love murderers, you know how people like get obsessed with murderers? And like,
yeah.
I'm allowed to love George Santos.
You are.
I'm allowed.
This is your life.
I love everything he's got going for him. He's really worked hard to be this fraudulent and this sloppy. $199.99. You couldn't like mix it up and do $199.98, $198.99. You had to do $199 every time. Amateur hour.
Yeah, he's shopping.
That's the work of Nancy Marks. That's the work of Nancy Marks. That's not the work of my Georgie S at all.
He spent extravagantly and traveled to every fundraiser event that would have him. He went to Mar-a-Lago. Is it Mar-a-Lago or Mar-a-Lago?
Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago. An important stop on any Long Island campaign route. It also helped that he could claim the support of Donald Trump, despite not actually having the endorsement of Donald Trump yet.
He was going to get it, though.
So it's, yes, of course, it's another red flag that he's like saying all these things and spending all this money. But red flags in the Republican Party are nothing more than party colors, right? I mean, the Republicans really don't care what the color of the flag is as long as it's not rainbow and the colors don't run. That's not to say that individuals didn't care. Some definitely spoke up. Some Republicans were like, hey, this is a problem. But the party machine didn't see a problem. One former advisor of Santos's, though, cared. He cared so much that he still remains anonymous today. He discovered Santos's connection to Harbor City and attempted to blow the whistle. But whistleblowing on an unlikely congressional candidate isn't like whistleblowing on a big company. The advisor couldn't find a newspaper willing to cover the story. Literally no one cared. Santos, I guess, wasn't a famous enough monster yet to warrant a story. You would think these newspapers are just itching to get anything out there. But as the controversies begin to pile up, his campaign suggested hiring an outside company to do a vulnerability study. And it's pretty routine to dive into a candidate's personal life in an attempt to uncover any sensitive info that might be discovered by the opposition and weaponized during the campaign. Santos, being the sociopath that he is, quickly agreed and the Capital Research Group was hired. Oh my God, why? This is like Charlie Ponzi being like, sure, look at the checkbooks. No problem.
The key to George Santos is you have to believe your lies, and he believes them. So here we are. Of course I want my Capital Research Group to come in and research me. Go ahead. Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
I'm good. I've been telling you guys the truth the whole time since 5 minutes ago.
Since I walked into this room, I have not told a lie.
Come on. Yet. But when I do, you know, you're the research group, not me.
Yeah. And what if I'm testing you?
Exactly. Exactly that.
But as the research dragged on, it became apparent to Santos that they were probably going to find all of the skeletons and possibly Kitara Havachi's gowns in his closet. He tried to cancel the research altogether, but it was too late. I wish we had the emails or texts that he was probably sending to these people. Please, can't cancel this. Don't stop it. I'm immediately ordering you to stop Googling. Stop it. Stop searching.
Everybody's background check is canceled.
So this group found a lot.
All he was boom. Here's what happens.
What?
Another theory.
Go.
The reason we can't find information for that 8 years is because he was able to delete that information before the research group came in.
There you go.
So that's what he was able to delete. And so then they found out like the college stuff.
Yeah.
Look, I'm putting it all together. I see where his head is at.
So they obviously found out a lot. They discovered his college degrees were bullshit, as was his master's and his high school diploma. They found out about his involvement with Harbor City. They found his eviction records. They found a suspended Florida driver's license, which called into question whether he was even a legal resident of New York State. But what they didn't find out was about his falsified work history, which goes to the fact that no one reads a fucking resume. They also didn't find out about the check fraud in Brazil. With the findings of this research, you would think that Santos's political career would end before it even began. But a miracle happens instead. In November of 2021, Tom Suozzi, the Democratic incumbent in the 3rd District, announced he was leaving his seat to make a run for the governor. This was the first inkling that Santos may actually have a shot at winning. Mm-hmm. So 2 days after Suozzi resigns, on December 1st, 2021, the campaign held an emergency meeting to give Santos the option of bowing out of the race gracefully or hold on tight and let the Democrats do their own research and Google you to fucking all ends and uncover everything that the vulnerability study did. Was he ready to risk destroying any political aspirations he may have? Santos predictably chose chaos.
That's my boy.
That's the way to do it. He denied much of the findings and promised his team that he would prove it. I'll prove it. For one, he told them he would produce diplomas that were definitely real. He didn't. He managed to convince everyone, including himself, that the findings weren't that bad, and went back to the race in full force. It would be without a lot of his team, however, as most of them quit following the revelations in the research. It's nice to see that in the Republican Party, there are lines that some of them are like, man, I'm racist, but this lying shit. It's like, I'm okay with schools of kids being shut, but you can't lie. Like this.
They were like, if he was straight, we'd be okay with these lies. But gay lies? No. This is where I draw the line.
Well, Shout out to all the Republican listeners out there. We love you.
Mitt Romney. Like Mitt Romney just bum rushed him at the, what was it, Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, man, you don't belong here. You get out of here. You're a disgrace, bro.
You're a disgrace. Those that stayed, though, with Santos were forced to sign NDAs. But by that point, all the relevant Republicans knew how fucked up this guy was. Okay, but here's the thing. Santos also gets some help with the congressional district getting ungerrymandered for the Dems in the spring of 2022. The Democratic enclave of Huntington had been moved to the 1st District, which was left open after Republican Rep. Lee Zeldin left to run for governor. He also lost. These dudes have no idea how good they had it in Washington. Why do you try to run for governor? Why try hard? So this kind of makes the district primed for a Republican candidate. Now that the seat is flippable, the Republicans suddenly cared that Santos was a scumbag. None of this scumbaggery had moved the needle for them, but now that he might have a shot, they wanted to give the shot to someone else. The main House Republican super PAC, the Congressional Leadership Fund, withheld its support for Santos. He's an outsider now, all of a sudden. They were obviously worried about all this stuff in his past being exposed. Then, in the summer leading up to the election, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, DCCC, assembled an 87-page opposition report on Santos. They found the evictions, the fact that he had not registered his pet charity. I know, we're going to talk about the puppy charity next week. His Ponzi scheme involvement and all the financial discrepancies. Guys, this is insane. But it's like when you have no shame, you are Teflon. And this is what they call the Teflon Don. It's like it really makes a lot of sense. The 87 pages didn't find a way to fully destroy him. They didn't find out about his fake diplomas, his bullshit marriage, or question his residency. But what they did find probably would have been enough if his opponent Robert Zimmerman was smart enough to lean on it. He might have if he had enough money, of course, but his relatively tiny pot of gold was only enough for advertising and canvassing. Robert Zimmerman, music fans may note that this is actually Bob Dylan's real name, but he changed it to sound less Jewish. I think that's kind of fucked up, isn't it? That we live in a world like that.
It is.
Yeah. According to Zimmerman, they did try to get newspapers to follow up on leads and out Santos. But like Santos's previous whistleblower, he couldn't get anyone to publish the story. How much do you need? Santos has an opponent who banks on people researching Bob Dylan to find out about him. Let's just say Santos felt very comfortable in this position. Interestingly enough, though, Zimmerman, also gay, and for the first time in our nation's history, two queer opponents were facing off in a congressional election. Knowing the race was now closer than anyone could have imagined a year ago, the DCCC threw $3 million into the race to help Zimmerman, while Republicans added nothing. Nothing to Santos. Nothing. This man is getting no support.
But you can't kill him. Just because you're starving him, you can't kill him.
This is what I'm saying.
He's going to get money anyway.
Right.
It's George Santos we're talking about. He's on unemployment.
He's good.
Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we get to the fall of 2022 and the election of George Santos.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Buying a Master Mechanics tool set usually means high prices, higher interest rates, and who knows how many years of monthly payments. But at GearWrench, we don't believe that your tools should take years and years to pay for. So check out Mega Mod Master Sets, the Master Mechanics tool sets that deliver pro-quality tools, organized storage solutions, an easy-to-use lifetime warranty, and much, much more. All for thousands less than you'd expect. So don't wait. Explore the sets and check availability now. Only at GearWrench.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back. On September 6th, he stops lying to just his team and lets them in. But at the same time, he had to officially lie on a House personal financial disclosure report. He claimed assets of $11 million, quite a bit more than the $5,000 he claimed on this report 2 years prior. He had become a rich man.
It was just a little raise.
Just a little bit of a bump.
A little bump. What's wrong with that? Who amongst us hasn't gotten a raise? Is it a crime to get a raise?
Is success illegal in America?
Exactly. It seems like they don't want us to have success.
That's what it seems. Damn Dems. In this House disclosure, he falsely certified that during the reporting period, he had earned $750,000 in salary from the DeVolder Organization LLC, his vanity LLC. He had received between $1 million and $5 million in dividends from the DeVolder Organization LLC. He had a checking account with deposits between $100,000 and $250,000. And that he had a savings account with deposits of between $1 million and $5 million. So these are like things that you fill out in the report. Here's the thing that I think people don't realize is that the government can go in and see what's in your bank account. They can see if they want to, they can go and subpoena the records. Where are you getting the money? Turns out he didn't receive this money from DeVolder Organization LLC. The company had no assets, property, or clients. It seems that the company may have simply been a laundromat for his car skimming money and maybe his Ponzi scheme money and the dog fraud money. I don't know. Who knows? I know. Tease with the dog fraud. But he also failed to disclose that in 2021, he received roughly $28,000 from Harbor City and more than $20,000 in unemployment benefits from the New York State Department of Labor. Redstone Strategies around this time dissolves, but they already did their job. And Santos said to himself, don't worry, Kitara, there is still time to do a little more crime before the election. In October, he helped broker the sale of a yacht. What? Between two of his wealthy donors, as you do when you are weeks out from a midterm election. The negotiated payment was $12.25 million up front with $6.5 million more in installments. I mean, this isn't a crime yet. The FBI is investigating. But honestly, what if this is the only legitimate thing he's ever done? What if this is the real thing? What if this is fine? I feel like the fact that he even got to level up to the point where he's negotiating a yacht sale means everything is broken.
Yeah,
I agree. Like you fraud so much, you fraud yourself into legitimacy.
Yeah, you're frauding backwards.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Anyways, with all that crime out of the way, election day came and went well or horribly wrong, depending on who you are and how much you care about the fate of humanity. But while no one is researching a guy who's probably going to lose, when Santos won the election by a whopping 8 points, the national media finally threw his name into Google. They found a lot. And then they found more. And then it only took a month and a half for the New York Times to run an expose on our man. House Democrats Richie Torres and Dan Goldman filed an ethics complaint on January 10th with the House Ethics Committee. By the way, Dan Goldman has a great congressional stock portfolio, like I mentioned earlier. The next day, four Republican congressmen called for his resignation. Republicans! But the ones in charge, namely Kevin McCarthy and Elise Stefanik, stayed on his side, knowing how slim their majority was and how devastating it would be to their numbers to lose anyone, even Santos. But here's the fun part. Rumors of a Santos aide posing as Kevin McCarthy's chief of staff swirled and soon were verified. Samuel was paid nearly $100,000 across the 2020 and 2022 elections to fundraise and cosplay as a type A Republican chief of staff. This is incredible. Santos is a fraudster. He gets his employee, his person, to pose as Kevin McCarthy's chief of staff to help fundraise. What do you guys think? I mean, that's incredible.
I'm just here for the ride. I'm having a great time. I love everything that he's doing. He has found a way to slip and slide. And this is not even the last episode of this.
Even just posing as Kevin McCarthy's chief of staff would alone be enough to end anyone's career. Just like that one piece of this whole picture. It's the levels of the Republican Party just wanting to win is like what is now becomes like the shocking part of this.
And he's like the Magic Johnson of fraud. He's making everyone better. He's dishing it off. He's like, you can, he's an assist. He's like, you can be a fraudster. You could be a fraudster. You could be a fraudster.
He does give me hope. You know, if you just keep on keeping on and you believe in yourself, you too can be a fraudster.
Yeah.
It's like the line. It's like the stakes of it, too. It's like telling someone to pose as the chief of staff of the future Speaker of the House. That is not a small.
No,
that's like an insanely crazy thing to do.
This is even crazier. Santos does an interview with a Brazilian journalist in January of this year, 2023, entitled, quote, "An Avalanche of Fibs," which is a great episode title that we will not steal, but we will maybe steal it for a future world tour. There, Santos claimed there were 300 drag shows per day in New York City schools.
That is unequivocally false. Yeah.
So many.
300 a day.
Per day?
Per day.
Drag math. Do the drag math.
I'm doing drag math now. That would mean there are 54,000 drag shows per school year on like 180-day school year.
Damn. Yeah. I've only been going to one a month. I didn't know there were so many at the schools in New York City.
In 2021, a report actually came out that calculated the average to be closer to one every 4 days, which equates to roughly 45 drag shows per school year.
Yeah.
Interesting data point, Kitara.
I wonder why my son came home and he was like, "Daddy, you better work." I was like, "What?"
And he did a dip real quick. He was, "Dude, he's dancing." I was like, "Wow!" And he can't even speak yet, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, he was throwing shade at me. I was like, "What?
What?"
He said, He said, "Daddy, I like it when you dress up in your suit. You show realness."
So in that same article, gets better. He said that 20,000 women in New York State have been able to access on-demand third trimester abortions. Woo! In reality.
Just ripping the ankle out of them.
Stop it. Stop. In reality, third trimester abortions occur only when the patient's life or health is in danger. We know that. And that occurs 1% of the time. So I think there's roughly 100,000 abortions per year. I think I'm somewhat close to that. So figure that number is actually close to 1,000. So he's off by, a huge factor of like, what, 10 20. There?
Yeah.
No, 100. Jesus. Yeah. Interesting data point again, Kitara. And now in January as well, his past starts to catch up with him. Brazilian prosecutors revived the check fraud case. Here we go. Good callback against Santos because now they knew where the asshole was. Mm. By the end of the month, he was forced to resign from the few committees to which he had been appointed. In March, the House Ethics Committee launched a formal investigation. Also in March, the prosecutors agreed to a plea bargain in the check fraud case in which Santos would formally plead guilty and reimburse the sales rep he had defrauded. Santos, he's against the ropes. He had learned a thing or two from his president, though. When things get hard, real men get harder with Viagra. On March 14th, Santos officially announces his run for re-election, throwing his hat into the ring for 2024. After all, he already started raising money for his next campaign and wasn't about to give it back. You know, earlier this year, we thought when he got into office, let's do George Santos, but let's wait for something big to drop. I started actually getting nervous. Is this all we would find? Just the stuff they were reading in the news? But then on May 9th, the indictment drops. And here we are.
You were so nervous. This is all we'll find. We've found enough for two whole episodes so far. And you were nervous? Okay.
I was like, what, is this enough? You know, I don't
Not
know.
Not my Georgie.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
It really is.
So in the indictment, we covered it here today, the wire fraud, all this falsifying of documents, those emails, the solicitations, the money laundering, the theft of public money from the unemployment insurance scam, and lying about it to the House. He could face a maximum of 20 years in prison. Another possibility is that he faces 20 years in the House of Representatives. So he could just get elected and reelected and reelected. Wow. And that's politics, baby. Anyways, guys, we'll keep an eye out on what's happening. Next week, though, we couldn't let you go without mentioning some of the other frauds that feel like incredible side missions in a scammy version of Grand Theft Auto. So stay tuned for all of that. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Fraudsters. Please leave us a review and keep the conversation going on Twitter and Instagram at FraudstersLPN. Follow me and Ariel on Twitter at Cena Now and at Ariel Lieti. Follow Justin on Instagram at Justin_Williams_comedy. Check out the show notes to see the resources we use for this episode. Fraudsters is hosted by me, Cena Gaznavi, Justin Williams, and Ariel Lieti. Fraudsters is produced by Jordan Aconcia, written by Nick Turner, and edited by Ryan Connor. Noreen Malik is our production coordinator. Research was provided by Patrick Fisher, legal research by Robert Resigliano, music by Grant Gordon. The executive producer is me, Cena Gaznavi. This has been a production of Zero Cool and The Last Podcast Network.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.